啦啦啦啦啦啦啦啦啦啦啦啦啦啦啦啦啦啦啦啦啦啦啦啦啦啦
啦啦啦啦啦啦啦啦啦啦啦啦啦啦啦啦啦啦啦啦啦啦啦啦啦啦啦啦啦啦啦啦
啦啦啦啦啦啦啦啦啦啦啦啦啦啦啦啦啦啦啦啦啦
And we present Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddock, and Joan Sims in...
Oh, stop messing about. Oh, hello and welcome. Well, this week I've definitely decided to hold it in Hyde Park. My open-air concert. I'm going to be free, uninhibited, do my own thing.
Well, I can't imagine anyone doing it for you.
Don't understand, dear. That's trendy chat, because I'm heavy, I'm aware, man.
But obviously aware. Not aware that I'm a woman.
I'm aware of it, Joan.
Oh, Hugh.
Oh. If I said you had an absolutely gorgeous figure, would you hold it against me?
Oh, yes, please.
Oh, here we go. Instant orgy. Every week you two get together and orge. Well, come on, stop it. I'll pack it in. Everyone back to their own beds.
Oh, all right. But, Joan, try and remember where I was up to. For later.
Oh, yeah. Make a chalk mark.
No need to be sarcastic.
Well, it gets right up your nose, you two necking away while I'm standing here getting all excited.
Well, you shouldn't watch.
Excited about my news. I have joined an underground group.
Northern Line or Central?
An underground pop group. We're called the Great Unwashed. There's Grubby Isaacs on rhythm guitar, Cinco Muldoon on the organ, and the drummer's got his initials on great big letters on his bass drum.
What's his name? Bernard Ogilvy?
Yes. And I appear as lead vocals, penny whistle, and mascot.
You sing
beautifully. Do you want to hear me do that old folk song, Where Has All the Crumpet Gone? Flowers mean nothing to me. I'm all male.
I told you he's changed lately.
I love his T-shirt, though, don't you? With those protest slogans all over it. It's got love your enemies on the front side and kiss your friends.
Yeah. Careful.
So there's only four of you in this group, then?
Oh, no, five. I forgot to mention the leader. He's a great big ugly fellow with hair down to his shoulders, and he plays jumbo guitar, stripped to the waist, wearing pink fluorescent trousers and psychedelic thigh boots.
Sounds as if he looks horrible.
Ooh. Actually, Miss Sims, I think I look rather fetchy.
Douglas, if not you...
Frankly, Mr. Paddock, it's amazing what one can do with a shoulder-length wig and a flower painted on the chest and flashing a plectrum all over the place. Quite honestly, I need the extra money.
Well, so do I, but there's no need to tell everybody. Hurry up, make an announcement, quick.
Okay, man, now, folk, dig this. This week, Crackerjack and Ollie with Mother has moved down to the bottom of the garden. And in her size 10 wellies, here comes blooming Maud Nethersole.
Hello, tinies, and biggies too. What is it that's more fun when it's done in the open air? It's telling stories, isn't it? Well, if you've any better ideas, let me know. Anyway, there was once a little worm called William, who wasn't sure which end of him was which. So he never had any girlfriends. Then one day, when he was tunneling under the lawn, he suddenly heard the sound of marching feet and someone whistling Colonel Bogey. And there, all at once, was a rather butch centipede called Wendy. She said, "What's wrong with you, young fella, me lad? You're looking very down in the mouth. I presume that is your mouth."
"I certainly hope so," said
said William. I've been shoving food into it all morning. And he began telling her his troubles. Meanwhile, in another part of the lawn, a worm called Madeline was telling her mother that she was just popping out for a quick wiggle. Well, be careful of the starlings, love, said her mother, because I don't think our early bird warning system is working. I don't want you to get nipped in the middle and come back twins. Well, Madeline hadn't got far when she found she was face to face with William's tail, which suddenly lit up like a beacon. You see, Tinies, William's mother had never told him that he was really a glowworm. She kept it dark because his father had been a passing firefly. And she'd forgotten to ask his name. Anyway, William and Madeline got married, but Madeline didn't enjoy the wedding night because William would keep putting on his light to read in bed. Now, wasn't that a lovely story? And here's a song about a lovesome thing, to wit, a garden.
In an English garden, beside a garden seat, I met an English gardener with galoshes on his feet. He showed me his sweet William. Sprinkler on his hood. I said, I beg your pardon, but I'm too young to try, for I am only 17. And he said, so am I. What happened in that garden? Exactly sure, but now I've some galoshes that I didn't have before.
So we come to our regular feature, Feeble Fables. And our story with a moral this week is a western set in Dodge City, so called because if you didn't, you were dead.
My name is Hank Hourglass. I'm an old-timer. I've been the bartender at the Bricklayer's Arms Saloon, so called because the good place don't get plastered. I'm stirring myself a screwdriver with a screwdriver because we run out of spoons. When in walked the sheriff.
Howdy, Hank.
Howdy.
I got a hankering for some food and drink.
I can fix you some mash.
Well, deal with the thirst first and have a plate of tater later.
Oh, dear, it's been so good up to now.
Say, Hank, get back into character, will you, and listen to me. I hear tell that Zack is riding this way.
Zack? You mean the fastest gun in the West? The man who's made a vow to kill you, Marshal? The man who said he'll shoot you in the end?
Yep. Just because I sent him up for 5 years.
Yeah, he could never take a joke. Hey, Marshal, here comes your wife. Mary Lou.
Clint, oh, yeah. I hear the black sack is riding this way.
Which way?
This way, and he's mighty sore.
Well, if he's riding that way, I ain't surprised.
But don't you realize that I used to be his girl? And after you... and after you sent him to state prison for 5 years, you married me, and now he's coming back to kill you. Clint, don't you know what that means?
Yep. Means we got a fairly efficient plot going for us.
Have you no fear? He's a killer, Clint. A huge hunk of a man. With cold, brutal eyes. And if he walked through that door now, he'd square his massive shoulders and say...
Hello.
Stand back, Black Zed. your hands up.
Marshal, someone shut a hole in the door of Calamity Jane's bathroom.
Hey, who are you?
That's my other part. The bartender. Oh, he's got a memory like a sieve. I'll start again and try to pay attention.
Oh, sorry.
Hey, Marshal, someone shut a hole in the door of Calamity Jane's bathroom.
Then I guess I better go and look into it.
See? I mean, you could ruin that joke.
Oh, Zach, now we're alone. I want you to do something for me that only a real man can do.
I don't know. We may be alone, but anyone could walk in and catch us.
I mean, forget this vendetta and spare his life. For me.
I'll let your husband off as long as I can spend 10 minutes alone. You know, really alone with you.
Only 10 minutes?
Yes, after I'm only the fastest gun in the West.
Then come up to my house
I'll
this evening.
Your house.
Because it's Friday, and that means there's an easy way to get rid of my husband.
How do you mean?
Well, it's our bath night, and if I have my bath first, then he'll go in and stay for ages and ages.
How can you be sure?
Well, because the moral of this week's story is...
Oh, yeah, who baths last, baths longest.
In this do-it-yourself age, how does it feel to live next door to an expert do-it-yourselfer? Take the case of Sid and Rita Dipfinger.
Sid, you know that Mrs. Ogden next door? Have you had a look at her back area recently?
No, I can't say I have, Rita.
Oh, she's had it all blasted. Yes, her hubby did it, see. Now she's got a regular little sun trap, according to the milkman.
How does he know?
Well, yesterday morning, her yoghurt exploded.
Oh, well, if it's done that to her yoghurt, what'll it do to her dustbins? Remember what they were like last summer? I didn't dare go into the garden without taking a deep breath and wearing a tin hat.
Oh, she's moved all her dustbins into her lair.
But they'll clash with the wallpaper, Rita.
No, she's made chintz covers for them, dear. But it's not really nice, is it? I mean, it's one thing to have dustbins in the hall like we do, but I mean, in the lair. She's moved all her best pieces onto that Spanish patio that her hubby made.
Spanish patio, indeed. All he did was to hang a bunch of onions on her bow front and stick a moustache on her plastic gnome. Looks ridiculous. Especially as the house is called Balmoral.
And now he's planning to insulate her loft by filling all the cavities with expanded Polynesia. Well, I say this for her, Abby. He'll have a go at anything.
He will. That's why she keeps him busy round the house. Put the cosy on and let it draw.
Oh, no, but seriously. I'll tell you what does need doing, Sid.
Oh, what's that, Rita?
Why don't you double glaze the tilly, dear?
With all the recording companies putting out cut-price LPs, you can now hear a superlative rendering of your favourite piece for as little as 14 and 11 pence. So it seems a bit ironic that we're still lumbered with the maxi-length Harris male voice choir.
It's better to open up your ear and sing.
It's boner to hear the omi voices ringing on.
I would like to make an announcement of special interest to all lovers of rhapsodic expertise, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you?
No, I wouldn't.
Yes, you would. Give our record.
Oh, that. Yes.
Well,
we decided to slash the price of our top-selling LP.
Yes, we are. We're slashing it,
Yes. So instead of it being 2 and 4 pence, it's now 2 bob.
That's right. What a bargain, Ducky, bargain. Of course, if you buy the sleeve as well, it's £5.10.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I had a lot of trouble designing that sleeve,
didn't I? You did. No lie.
No. Well, I mean, them puff sleeves are always a problem, aren't they? And if you get them too tight, they stop your circulation.
Take more than that to stop your circulation. Yes, it's shameful the way you've been going round trying to plug that record, well, trying to bribe Tony with a knitting pattern.
Well, I thought it would send up our sales.
Wasn't our sales that got sent up, was it? A hole in the roof, wasn't there?
Yes.
Go on. Yes.
From the beams.
Yes.
No, it was me, really.
Yes,
no,
it was,
no.
wasn't it?
Well, I didn't know his speciality was crochet work.
Crochet.
I'd like to know the name of this week's vocal extravaganza.
Well, Jack. We thought our fans would appreciate something a bit butch to really lift the roof off.
So what did you choose?
Dance of the Sugar Plum Fair. But unfortunately, the poor Pallone has pulled a ligament in her lally.
That's not correct, she did. Yes. So we're doing something different.
Yes.
Oh, good.
Yes, it's a song about another sugar plum fairy.
No, we're not back to that.
Yes, we are, Miss Clever Clogs, and if you don't want it, then you do. Cheek.
Nerve, though.
There's a little fairy who hasn't a friend. She has been deserted by her fairy prince.
Who wonders where her chum is, where her sugar plum is. She left it to a leprechaun and hasn't seen it since.
There's a little fairy halfway round the bend, searching for her boyfriend over hill and pond.
Since she has been jilted, though her wings have wilted, all that she's got now is a bent wand.
Searching in the daffodils and searching in the hollyhock and searching in the
flowers. Searching bits. You haven't found the answer at your age, you never will.
Charming.
Down with it.
There's a little fairy still all on her own, sitting in a buttercup where bees do buzz,
wishing someone boner would hurry up and phone her.
Oh, I know the feeling, love.
Well, if you, don't, Jackie,
who does?
Now it's time for the Smith Report. But first, here is a gale warning. Ernest Gale, stay away from my wife! Which brings us to this week's main topic. Literature. Do we read too much into it? Now, what does the man in the street have to say?
I am able to read a large amount of literature as I recently took one of those speed reading courses. With my new ability, I've just completed Tolstoy's War and Peace in only 35 minutes.
That's fantastic. What's the book about?
Russia.
Well, you know, I always say the pen is mightier than the sword. So if I ever come against a fellow with a sword, I squirt ink in his eye.
Work, my boss gave me an instruction manual which explained in detail how I could make myself most helpful and popular in a small but busy office.
Oh, yes, and what was it called?
Fanny Hill.
So much for public opinion, but what are the views of an expert?
As chairman of the local watch committee, I find that so-called literature these days is obsessed with sex. stories of full-bosomed, lithe-bodied, mini-skirted young women flashing their thighs in the summer sunshine and leaping into bed with the flimsiest, I repeat, flimsiest excuse. I had just read a book that was so erotic and pornographic and sexually explicit that I took it straight back to the public library and renewed it.
It's a very strange thing that many mystery story writers are women. How does this unlikely profession affect their married life?
Teddy, darling, I've got the afternoon off.
Roger, darling, isn't that lucky? Stay there by the door, will you?
Yes, of course.
Now see if you can get to the telephone.
But you... Shot me.
Well, for my story, I want to know if a middle-aged man in an average-sized room can get from the door to the telephone by the French window with a bullet wound 3 inches above the heart.
Compiled has been a list of the world's thinnest books. This list is headed by a very thin book called Italian War Heroes. But perhaps the thinnest mystery book of them all is Who Killed Cock Robin? The crime, arrest and trial all dealt with in 6 verses flat. Few people are aware that this crime was actually solved by two of fiction's greatest detectives, Chief Superintendent Barlow and Inspector Watt.
Come on, tell me, who killed Cock Robin?
I'm not saying nothing.
Come on, Mrs. Fly. There's none of you on me.
I know my rights.
Look, my name may be John, but I know what's what.
I was nowhere near the scene of the crime. I was in a club with one of your constables sitting on my knee.
Yeah, I suppose you think that gives you a copper-bottom alibi. You try it on Mr. Barlow, who'll be here in a minute.
Right then, John Ladd. I'm sorry I'm late. I've been investigating the theft of some paper towels from a public loo in East London.
Oh, which one was it, sir?
Oh, I don't know. Just one of the Stratford Johns.
Come on, then. What's up now? Cock Robin's been killed.
Oh.
Stabbed to death with an arrow.
Oh, whereabouts?
Right between the obelisk and the bush shelter. This is the only witness.
Ah, the only one there. I know you, lass. I want those marks on your face. Mrs. Fly, have you been done up? Hey, listen, either you talk or I'll throw the book at you.
I don't care.
I warn you in alert, it's the complete works of Shakespeare.
All right, then. I saw him die with my little...
Ah. A little cat burglar friend, Mickey the Manx. We put a tail on him.
Ah.
Come on, Mrs. Fly, who killed Cock Robin?
Spuddo did it, with my archery set.
I don't believe me. Who killed Cock Robin?
I said the Spuddo. With my bow and arrow.
John, lad, there's only one thing to do. Get on to the BD.
BD, sir?
Aye, borrow a dust car.
What for?
Because this old sketch has been a right load of old rubbish.
Stop Messing About with Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddick, Joan Sims, and the Max Harris Group. The script was by Miles Rudge and David Cumming and Derek Collier. The producer was John Simmons.